So today we're going to talk about an interesting form of davening. We always think that davening has to be intentional and purposeful, targeted. You have a specific agenda in mind, and you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at all the Avinu Malkeinus. How many Avinu Malkeinus end with Asei Laman? Tevuchem Yichudecha, Boi Voisha, Mayim Akidu Shemecha, Yonke Shadayim Shalom Chatu, Murichal Shalom Pashu, Laman Chalom Lamaneinu, Laman Shemecha, Laman Chavya Sheinu, Zichar Brisavos. So there's a specific target in mind, and we marshal or harness some factor that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take into account. Laman Shemecha, Laman. There's another type of tefillah, and as I said, there's so many. The Medrash in Veschanah says there are 10 lashanos of tefillah. Without going into the different lashanos, there's so many different languages of tefillah and so many different ways that you daven, and it's a kaleidoscope of emotion and a kaleidoscope of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's so, so important. Again, you're reaching a stage in life where hopefully two things are happening. It's really hard to daven when you're 15 years old. Like, they go to these high schools and I'm visiting. Here's a guy shuckling and shaking. Okay, it's nice that they're training themselves, but when you walk into a hospital and you see people that are adults and struggling with life and people that are adults and have real issues, and it's not just the issues you're facing that you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help from, but it's also the emotional maturity to know what you're feeling and to share those feelings. And a lot of times davening is stunted because you're just not aware of your own feelings. If you're not aware of your own feelings, how are you going to pour those feelings into davening? You're not aware. So it's self-awareness and emotional maturity that you're starting to reach, Baruch Hashem, and davening hopefully will be able to capture some of this. So in Parshas Chukas, Aaron dies. Vayishma Kenani Melech Arad Yoshef HaNegev. So the king of Canaan, who lives near Arad, and he happened to live in the south. So there's a lot of complicated geography here. Without getting into all the geography, how could he live in the south if he's in Arad, and where is Arad, and is modern day Arad, and is he really Kenani? Who is Arad? There's a lot of camouflage identity here, who this person is. But the biggest camouflage is the camouflage they set for themselves. Because Rashi, picking up on the phrase, Yoshef HaNegev, Amaleki BaNegev, when the Raglim reported back to Moshe and Shlach, the Amalekim were in the Negev. And again, historically, we know the reason they're in the Negev is because Amalek sees her task. Amalek was the grandson of Esav. Amalek was Eliphaz' grandson with Timnah. And Timnah, on her deathbed, gave to Amalek, the grandson of Esav, your task is to restore the brachos that Yaakov lost. So Amalek's lifelong mission is to prevent Jewish destiny. So that's why every time Jewish destiny reaches a climax point, Amalek is there. We're leaving Mitzrayim. Oh my goodness. We have to stop them. When we're about to enter Eretz Yisrael as it is here, we have to stop them. When we have Jewish monarchy, we have to stop them. Agag. When the Jews are about to go back to Eretz Yisrael after Persia, Haman stops them. Now we're about to achieve statehood, so Haman's descendants and Iran stop them. So Amalek is always there, particular moments in Jewish history when they want to blunt the advance of Jewish history to prevent Yaakov from fully maximizing the brachos. So this is a moment, we're about to enter Eretz Yisrael, 40 years after the first encounter with Amalek. The Yoshef HaNegev is really Amalek. So why is he called Vayishma Kakanani Melech Arad? So Rashi says that this was the plan. Sounds a lot like Hamas Yimach Shemam. Let's dress up as civilians. But they didn't dress up as, let's hide behind civilians. They didn't dress up as civilians. The Amalekim dressed up as Canaan. This is really Amalek battling, but they're making believe they're Canaan. They're making believe they're Vayishma Kenani, but they're really Yoshef HaNegev. So why would the Amalekim dress up as Canaan? It's a very interesting concept. What's Amalek's role? Why did they dress up? But not for now, maybe for Purim. But in this point, it's very pointed. It's very specific. Because if the Jews think that we're Canaanim, they'll daven to Hashem to protect them against the Canaanim. And it's really the Amalekim. And essentially, their tefillah will be pointless and will triumph. This is a very, contrived solution to appear as Canaanim, even though we're really Amalekim. So it sounds like a good plan. Why did it fail? Because Am Yisrael was so confused because they look like they're Canaan, but they sound like Amalek, their accent is Amalek, their dialect is Amalek. So they said, look, we're really confused. So let's just daven to Hashem stam. We don't really know what we're davening for. Whether we're davening for protection against the Amalekim or davening for protection against the Canaanim, let's just daven stam. And the next pasuk is, Vayidar Yisrael neder l'Hashem v'yamar, Im noton titein es ha'am hazeh b'yadi v'achremti es. I don't know who these people are. They sound like they're Amalekim. They look like they're Canaanim. They smell horrible. I don't know. Just save us. Noton titein es ha'am hazeh. Which means that sometimes you don't really know what you're davening for. And you just daven stam. So, for example, put into a modern context, do we want there to be a ceasefire in exchange for the hostages? Hard to know. On the one hand, it will give Hamas Yimach Shemam greater latitude to escape. On the other hand, hostages. After the fact, obviously, once hostages are returned, you celebrate, you Hodel Hashem Kitov, obviously, you feel the joy that the families feel, but different case. Someone's very, very ill. You daven for a four shalema, knowing that when they get healed, when they're an older person, they'll just suffer more. Do you daven for them to die? No, we never daven for someone to die. So you just daven sometimes. I don't really know what I'm davening for, but I'm davening that you should intercede in a way that you probably, not probably, definitely know better than myself. There's a voice of davening that's not as intentional as we typically look at davening. And I've given just some very, very concrete examples. There are many examples in life where you're confused, you don't know the right way. You can daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show me the right way, or something that's out of your hands, like the hostage deal, or then you just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know, I'm just davening, stop, I need help. And when you daven for help, tefillah gets reduced to a very, very, very basic and minimal level. Because it's Parsha Shmos, let me give you a parallel. It's a little bit different, okay? We say every year in the Haggadah, four psukim from Kitavo. One pasuk about the descent to Mitzrayim, Arami Yovet Ravi Vered Mitzrayim. Second pasuk about the Shibud, Vayireu Sada Mitzim Vayanunu, Vayanunu Levodah Kasha. The third pasuk about Tefillah, and the fourth pasuk about Gula. Vetzina Shem Kenu Mishab Yad Chazakah, B'zoha Nitiyah, Uvamar Gadol V'Elsos V'Mosin. What's that third pasuk about Tefillah? Vayanitzak El Hashem, Vayishma Hashem Eskalenu, Vayaras Anyenu Vesem Alenu Eslachasenu. Is there any pasuk where we daven to Hashem in Shmos that we're referring back to in Kisavo? There's absolutely no tefillah in Shmos. There's no moment in Shmos where Am Yisrael davens to Hashem. In fact, because I'll talk about this, Api Kabbalah, that we lost our voice. I don't mean we lost our voice like I lost my voice last week. We lost our identity and our ability to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's called the Hashtakas HaDibur in Kabbalah. The only pasuk, and of course Chazal associated the two pasukim, that even is quasi tefillah, is the following pasuk. Vayhi Bayamim Parshas Mas. Vayhi Bayamim Harabim Haim. Vayamas Melech Mitzrayim. Vayanchu B'nei Yisrael Min Havodah. They groan. Vayizaku, and they scream. Vatal Shavasam El Halukim Min Havodah. Chazal say, that's the tefillah that we're referring to in Kisavo. Vayitzak El Hashem. Vayishma Hashem Eskolenu. So in Kisavo, it sounds like there's a real davening. Vayitzak El Hashem. Vayishma Hashem Eskolenu. The Shiach Zibor got up and put a talus on Hashem. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum. We didn't have it yet, but whatever they said. But in Shemos, it sounds like, you know what they were doing? They were just crying and screaming and groaning. Vatal Shavasam. You hear the passive language? Vatal Shavasam. It just so happens that the cries and screams ascended to Hashem and he heard them. There's another type of davening that's very similar, not just where it's cryptic and you don't really know what you want and you just say, Hashem, I just know I need your help. It's even more reduced than that. We say, HaKadosh Baruch, I'm suffering. I just look at my suffering. You're not even asking for anything. You're just saying, HaKadosh Baruch, look at my suffering. There's no ask. In Parsha Shmos. There's no, and therefore redeem us. That's so far removed from Eretz Yisrael, so far removed from redemptive concepts, they didn't even ask Hashem to redeem them. Vayanchu b'nei Yisrael, vayizaku, just a stam, a scream. Vatal shavasam el halukim min avoda. And Hashem took that as a tefillah. So as long as there's some, I don't think, like cliches, but there's some connection, there's some presence, there's some linkage between your experience and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's a form of tefillah. Whether it's the anonymous, not the anonymous, that's what I'm looking for, the confused tefillah of the people in Chukas. I don't really know who these people are. I know I need to be saved. Or you don't even know you need to be saved. You don't even know what you need. You don't even ask Hashem to be saved. You just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look how much I'm suffering. So tefillah means bring Hashem into your world and sharing your world with Hashem and asking Hashem to look at your world. And sometimes where you're suffering, you say, Hashem, look at my suffering. I don't really know what even to ask for. I'm not even asking. For whatever reason, I don't have the capacity to ask, whether at a national level my voice has been muted, or at a personal level, for whatever reason, I don't know how to ask. That's still considered a tefillah. And according to Chazal, that is the tefillah Mitzrayim. V'nitzak al Hashem, v'tal shel Hashem v'holakim. So we'll start to make our way, continuing through this odyssey of tefillah. I guess the best way I can describe it to you is open up as many pathways as possible. Don't try to shoehorn tefillah into one specific mode. Because in that mode doesn't exist emotionally, you have a hard time davening. Rather, let tefillah, rather the same sports, let the game come to you, rather than pushing yourself on lamdus, see what the sugya says to you, rather than, same with tefillah, don't try to impose one container upon every tefillah, just let the tefillah be a natural emergence from the state of mind you're in and the condition of your life, and let the tefillah be a product rather than something you pre-program, which may not be, may not correlate to what you're going through in life. Okay? Have a good day, everyone. Share for us will be, for our share will be, 850.